Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to our new listeners and welcome back to our regular listeners. This is Spark Radio and I am your host, Ms. Melanie. And as always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you. And I thank you for the time that you have invested to spend with us this evening to talk about your brain. And before we get there, though, I wanted to take a moment to wrap up on the segment from last week for those of you who were wondering how the adventure with the tire came out. I got some new stories for service training because, yes, the person who stopped was associated with my AAA membership, which is an auto club membership here in the States. Although he was unable to help, because the mechanism to release the spare tire was, something was wrong with that. And so he said, well, I could cut it off. I really can't do anything with the tire's too flat. So I called my husband, who came to my rescue, and I waited for him for about a half an hour. And he took the tire off, and we went, and the next day had to get a new tire. Well, the sad part was this gentleman from this quote service station left me there. I never offered to take me to town to use a restroom or to get anything to drink or those things that we typically associate with exceptional service. But when my husband said he could come over, he left. So I do still appreciate and use AAA because they, when I called them to tell them about my experience, she was shocked. She said he should have called to say he couldn't help you. We would have sent a tow truck to get you off the side of the road. So good news is my van is running, my tire is fixed, and I got a story to use when I train about what it means to provide service to someone, whether regardless of the business that you're in, that doing those small things, those, quote, little extras, you know, the small things are the big things when it comes to service. And so thanks for bearing with me last week as we had that short show. I will add that a wonderful gentleman did stop on his way home and was able, he tried to help after the AAA serviceman left. He was unable to. He stayed and talked with me until my husband arrived and then tried to help, which was very much appreciated. So I offered him a half an hour complimentary coaching session at no charge, and as in my, just to say thanks for taking the time and stopping. So tonight's show is some follow-up as well as some new information. Last week we talked about you can always choose your response to any situation, and as I got comments on Facebook and about, oh, this terrible luck you've had with a van, and my response is always something that was more positive, because that's where our power and control is when we can make that choice. That when my boss at one of my jobs had said to me, what's up with the van? And I said, apparently it thinks I needed more vacation. And I laughed because, yeah, it just gave, meant I was home that next day last week and had some more time to work on some home projects and spend with my son. So that's the perspective that I chose to take with that. And so that is really one of the benefits of our brain. So for those of you who listen regularly, the challenge always is what action did you take to use something that you learned, to act on something that you learned. That is always our goal, is that one of our sparks will be a spark you're looking for to ignite your life, to create that life that you desire. So tonight we're going to talk about something that everyone has, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, you have a brain. It's an amazing brain. And as I commented today on some social network sites about, we have such an amazing brain. And most of us were never taught how to make the most of it and maximize its capabilities. So tonight we're going to share some tips and strategies about how to boost your brain. And regular listeners will know that I often will say we take better care of our skin and our hair than we do of our brains. And yet our brain is the crux of everything about our life experience, our senses, our emotional experience, our perception. It's all based in our brain, our ability to communicate. So taking good care of that organ called our brain is so, so very important. And so just take a breath for a moment and think about all the wonderful things that your brain can do for you. Did you think of a few things that I didn't list? A few things around, well, breathing is a good one. I didn't mention that, to be able to say, wow, my heart's pumping, I'm breathing. So meeting our physical needs is one of the things that our brain helps take care of. Being able to handle emotions and choose how we want to respond with the feelings in our lives and how we choose to handle things. So let's talk about that brain. For most of us, it's somewhere in the ballpark of about 3 pounds. Some of you may have seen them in jars in museums or in a biology class, and others of you may have seen them on NOVA, on public television science specials or medical shows like ER or Grey's Anatomy. And so the other things we know about our brain cells themselves do not have nerves, do not pain nerves, do not feel pain. And so that's how they can do surgery, brain surgery, with the person awake, because and asking questions about what they're experiencing as they're probing in their brains. Our brains require a lot of water. Depending on which research you read, 75 to 80% of our brain is water. And yet, most of us walk around with dehydrated brains. And so, because of that, our brain will take water from every other system. It will pull water from our digestive system. It will pull water from our circulatory system. It will pull water from our muscle system. So if your brain does not get, if you've not taken in enough water and your brain needs water from somewhere, it will pull from any place that it can. So, question is, do you know how much water you need for your brain and body to function well? Carla Hannaford's book, Smart Moves, which I'll link to the show when we're finished, says Smart Moves, why learning is not all in your head, involves some other aspects that support our brain and learning. One of them is water consumption and the idea that if you take your body weight, so let's say for the purpose of easy math, you weigh 150 pounds, take your body weight and divide it by 3, because generally, research says that you need an ounce of water for every 3 pounds of body weight. So if you take your body weight and divide it by 3, that'll give you the number of ounces of water an average person would need in a day. So that's 50 ounces. To find out how many 8-ounce glasses that is, you take that number, the 50, and divide it by 8. So 6 times 8 is 48, and then another couple ounces, so a little over 6 8-ounce glasses a day. Now, if it's very hot and humid, like the weather has been in the Midwest United States, and you're sweating more, or perspiring, whichever language you choose, then you would probably want to have more water intake because you're losing more water from your system than normal. If you are stressed, I had a session today called Be the Zebra about choosing your stress, because zebras don't get ulcers. It's a wonderful book, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, because they live in the now. They don't worry about the past. They don't worry about the future. They focus on what's happening in their life right now. Humans, on the other hand, tend to create stress from thinking about past events, thinking about future events. And so one of the strategies is to choose how you focus your attention when it comes to stress. So we talked about water intake in that session today, because it's like driving your car without all the proper fluids. You're trying to run your body without all the proper things it needs. Your brain needs water, nutrition, sleep. We'll talk about those, because those all can enhance your performance, the performance of your brain. So let's say that you need about 6 ounces of water. If you're chronically stressed for a period of days to weeks, and if you're feeling stressed, you need to double your water intake. So that for that 50 ounces just became 100 ounces. So 100 ounces divided by 8, well, 11, 12 is 96. So 12 glasses plus. And I use water bottles so I can measure my water, so I can become conscious of how much water I'm taking in. Also, if you drink alcohol or carbonated beverages, then according to Dr. Hannaford, it's 1 ounce of water for every ounce of pop or alcohol, because those take water out of your system. So if you have 3 20-ounce bottles of pop during a day, that's 3 times 20 is 60 ounces of pop. You need 60 ounces of water. And someone usually comments in sessions when I share that, it's like, be living in the bathroom. Well, yes, because that water is helping to flush your system. And you do adjust. So if you're not used to drinking water and you start drinking more, you will notice some changes. And then your system will adjust. So give yourself patience. Be patient with the process. And notice that, you know, getting more water in your system helps you be able to focus, concentrate, think more clearly. If you're tired, one of the first things to drink is water. Water will help you stay more alert if you're tired. If you have a headache. Now, if you're tired, water may not be, you know, the only thing you want, because sometimes you want some fresh air. A little caffeine might help. But definitely if you have a headache, that's a sign often that your brain is dehydrated. And so try water before you take pills and see if that helps you relieve the headache. So treat your brain well. Your brain requires a lot of water because that's how the cells in your brain communicate with each other. They communicate electrochemically. So the cells send electrical signals. They need a fluid environment for that, and there are chemicals that are released that have to travel. So there's an electrical signal that runs in the cell itself through the axon, and when you get to the end of that, it releases chemicals that cross the synapse or the gap between the cells, and it's those chemicals that bind to the next brain cell or neuron. And when enough of them bind, then that one fires and sends a signal down the axon to the next neuron. And so for our brain to function efficiently, we need to have that electrochemical communication system working very well. Our brain also creates chemicals. Excuse me. And those chemicals contribute to our emotional states. Things like you may have heard in television ads like dopamine or serotonin, those are neurotransmitters in the brain And to create those, you need the right building blocks. You need amino acids. You need, for example, vitamin C and magnesium to produce serotonin. So you need proper nutrition to change the chemistry of your brain. Serotonin is the feel-good neurotransmitter, the one where you say, ah. And when you eat, some research says that if you eat protein first, you stay alert. If you eat carbs at the start, you'll soon rest your heart. Because there's a race. Once they're broken down, if you think of it this way, they race to the brain. If the carbs get there first, your brain produces serotonin. If the protein gets there first, your brain produces dopamine, which is a state of alert attention, and it's also called the reward chemical in your brain. So you want to have focused attention, then think about what you eat for lunch. Pastas, high carbs. Pastas are better in the evenings when you want to relax and be ready for sleep. And so when I've spoken at conferences, if I have any opportunity to have input into the lunch menu, which I have on occasion, I've requested them to stay away from pasta and because it's heavy and it's carbs, and to focus on fruits and vegetables with antioxidants as well as protein that can be eaten separately, because it's challenging if the protein's mixed in something or part of your taco or sandwich, but to be able to pull some out and eat it first. So what kind of nutrition are you giving your brain system? There are some things that our body produces that our brain needs. Like it breaks down the glucose in digestion, and our brain needs that glucose. The cells have to have energy to function. So we have to provide energy in the form of nutrition to our brains. Our brains also need those other chemicals, those minerals like magnesium. And our body doesn't make that. It needs choline. Choline is necessary for the formation of new memories. If you don't have enough choline in your system, it's very challenging for new connections to form, new connections between those brain cells. And so, what kind of foods are high in choline, you may wonder? Egg yolks, the cholesterol. So an egg a day is really good. Lecithin, you may see lecithin on labels. Lecithin breaks down into choline, which is necessary in that new memory process, a chemical process. Canadian bacon, peanut butter, ham, lamb, wheat germ has a very, very high amount of choline for the volume of wheat germ that you need. It's huge. But if you did a Google search on foods with choline, and you could discover some. My son, Alex, thinks wheat germ is a secret ingredient in many foods. It's one of the ways that I get choline into his diet. You can also buy lecithin supplements. As always, if you're thinking about taking any kind of supplement, vitamin, nutritional, please consult your physician so that if you're on other medications, you're aware about possible drug interaction. So your nervous system needs the B vitamin complex. That helps in terms of communication, stress. So are you getting enough B vitamins in your diet? Antioxidants. Oh, the brain really needs those. Antioxidants function like a protector. If you think about what happens to an apple when you cut it and you leave it out exposed to air, what happens? Yes, it turns brown. That is an oxidation process. And you probably have heard about molecules called free radicals. Free radicals love fat. And you can get free radicals from the food you eat, from the air you breathe. And because the brain is a fatty organ, because of the nerve cells being coated in a fat called myelin, a lot of free radicals end up in our brains and can cause cell damage. just like the cells of the apple are damaged when they turn brown in the oxidation process. So there are foods that contain what we call antioxidants. So fruits and vegetables that are very deep in color are high in antioxidants. Antioxidants include vitamin C. That's an antioxidant. So when we're eating the healthy fruits and vegetables, not only are we getting healthy calories and good nutrition, we're protecting our brains, giving a boost of antioxidants. That's another term, antioxidant, A-N-T-I-O-X-I-D-E-N-T. Green teas have high antioxidants. Make sure that it's freshly brewed to have the maximum antioxidant value. Chocolate, also dark chocolate, has a high antioxidant value. Now, if you have milk with your chocolate, the reaction between the milk and the chocolate actually greatly reduces the antioxidants and their ability to serve their function. So milk chocolate and when I learned this, I still enjoy smoothies made with yogurt, although if I want the strongest antioxidant value, I make it with fruit juice and not yogurt because yogurt's milk-based. So fresh fruit and juices have the highest antioxidant content. So do some exploring around how can you best feed your brain, care for your brain so that it works best for you. How are you sleeping? For years I thought I didn't need a lot of sleep because I was running on. Well, I had lots of things to do, lots of projects, and I later learned some things in my research to become a certified brain-based trainer. Learn some things about the brain, sleep, because many of us don't have or take time to read journals about research. So I appreciate people who can condense that research. And one of the pieces of research has to do with sleep and the process that happens in terms of what I call memory gluing. New memories tend to glue while you're asleep. So if you don't have that, then you may forget the things that you did the day before. So one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is the fact that many of us were never taught these things about our brains when we were young. And so I've asked Alex, who will be 8 in a couple weeks, to share some things with you that he knows about the brain and about learning. So I'm going to introduce my son, Alex. So say hello, Alex.
Hello, my name is Alex, and your brain is a lot the size of your fist, and you have a brainstem that can go down, that goes down your spine, and that goes down your body.
And so, you learned some things in school, as well as some things from his mom and dad about the brain. So what are some things that you know that your brain does?
It tells us to do stuff, like move your legs and talk, like right now what I'm doing.
Okay, and what do you know in terms of taking good care of your brain? What are some things that you could tell our listeners to do that would help them take really good care of their brain?
By eating healthy food, not bad food.
What are some examples of healthy food?
Apples, oranges, and bananas.
Yeah, fruits are very good examples of healthy food. What about, we talk about getting ready for school in the morning and some good choices for breakfast. What are some good choices for your brain for breakfast?
Peanut butter, toast, cereal.
Some kinds of cereal, if it's a whole grain cereal. Because the whole wheat bread, well, that fiber will help keep a steady flow of glucose to your brain for a longer period of time, oatmeal. And then the protein helps your brain. What else can you have for breakfast that's good protein?
Eggs. and some yogurt and peanut butter.
Right, which we've already talked about in those things. I'm making good, healthy choices. Now, the sugary cereals cause some problems in the brain's thinking because it spikes the blood sugar. And so we're going to talk about, when we go grocery shopping and we talk about those cereals. So, Alex, what do you want to share about cereals?
I want to share all the bad cereals I know. Cookie Crisp, Reese's Puffs.
So Cookie Crisp, Reese's Puffs, Frosted Flakes, things that have lots of sugar, Lucky Charms. They do have some good nutrition. It's the sugar content that can cause spikes when it comes to learning and the brain. And so we do have those as treats on weekends, and we don't have to be in school. And so taking good care of our brains and thinking with our brains, we talk about some ways that we can help our brains remember. And I haven't gotten to talk to my listeners about that yet. But can you talk about some of the things, Alex, when we're trying to help you remember, especially think about like spelling words. What are some of the different ways that we help your brain remember spelling?
By doing tricks and by remembering those tricks so I can do them.
Okay, so let's talk about one kind of tricks that we do. And it's going to be hard. We'll have to tell the listeners what we're doing because when you know it in your body, you know it. So when you use your body to help remember, that helps. So sometimes we will use our body to help with spelling. Can you tell the listeners what some of the body parts and the letters are that we use?
I is the eye, like an eyeball. E is for ear. And we use N for nose, and tongue for T, and uvula for U.
Yes, uvula for U. So we took letters and put them with different body parts, and he can almost touch his uvula. I'd be gagging in a heartbeat. And so if we're trying to spell words, we'll actually touch body parts. Like for receive, to remember that one, we touch our rib. For R, our E for our ear, our chin is C, E for our ear, I. What do we do? We didn't do V. We just had to remember V. And then E. Yes, T is, what's teeth?
Teeth.
Teeth, or our tongue can be teeth. A is our ankle. And so we would actually, it's doing like almost a body dance to help remember. Especially for words that don't follow the rules. So we put it in our body. Sometimes we will come up with silly stories. Can you think of any of the silly stories we made up about the word, any of the words to remember the order of the letters? And right now, I can't think of one right now either, but we would make up some silly stories about why the I had to be next to a certain letter because it had to say, it had to get its hat. So it had to come first because it took longer to get its hat. That was its dot. And so it's just using your imagination and creativity. And when it comes to things that you just need to memorize that don't follow rules, then our brain appreciates making sense, making meaning, connecting it to things that we already know. And so that's a strategy that will help you make the most of your brain in terms of memory. Alex, is there anything else you want to share about your brain? What about sleep? Do you need to sleep for your brain?
Yes, you do. You need to sleep for your brain so it doesn't get tired.
Yes, and when your brain gets tired, it's hard to think. Did you want to say something else? Okay.
And my mom says if you watch too much TV, your brain will turn to mush.
Yes, because your brain needs lots of different kinds of stimulation, not just watching a screen. The physical movement of your body actually helps the wiring of your brain. And this is also in Smart Moves with Carla Hannaford. So if you do cross-body movements, like marching with opposite hand and opposite leg, running and walking, is also good to wire your brain. Physical exercise stimulates the cerebellum, which actually contains 40% of the brain's nerve cells and is connected to every other part of your brain. We used to think, before the days of technology, which allowed us to see what was happening in the brain, that the cerebellum was primarily responsible for movement, and that is an important part, a function of the cerebellum, but it also is connected to other parts of the body and reading. So to improve your reading, you want to have some physical exercise. Alex, is there anything else you want to share before you go upstairs?
That your brain is connected to your spine, and that every time you move something, it goes up to your brain, like a blink of an eye.
So your brain has to decide to move before you can move your hand. There are some things that your brain controls that you don't think about. What are some things your brain controls that you don't have to think to do?
Breathing, your heart, eating.
Or digesting food.
So
would you say we have a pretty amazing brain?
Yeah.
We do. And do you think we should take good care of our brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to make good choices about drinking. Alex, what is the thing, which liquid do you drink the most all day long?
Water.
Yay, water. Because it definitely is very good for your brain. So we have about 13 minutes left. If you have a question about your brain, you're welcome to give us a call at area code 347-215-8390. Tonight we're talking about some strategies to take good care of your brain, which boosts your brain power, how to use your brain better, make the most of your brain. We'll introduce the concept of having a magic mind or using mind magic, why some people seem to be able to get so much better performance from their brain and in their life, and it's primarily because they know some strategies, the magic of their mind, so it seems like an illusion or that kind of magic to the rest of us because we don't know how to do the trick. We don't know how to stay so alert and focused. We never learned that. Or how to choose a positive perspective. And that makes a difference because when people are optimists or they choose a positive perspective, then that part of their brain that gets more blood flow is actually involved in problem solving. Pessimists, I believe it's the left prefrontal cortex, tends not to be as effective in problem solving. So if you want to come up with a solution, choose that positive perspective. That's another tip to make the most of your brain and mind so that really you can learn how to improve your brain's functioning and performance. And there are some general rules about the brain that are true for everyone, things like our brains are social. Our brains learn when they're in connection with other brains, when we can talk to people, share ideas with people. We can use both. We can use seeing and talking and writing, use multiple or called modalities to get information to our brains, use our sight, use our hearing, use our touch. And even if we have some smell and taste involved, that increases our ability to remember to process that information. So there's so much. And I had an amazing teacher when I was younger who taught me what are called mnemonics, memory strategies, that work in harmony with how the brain functions. And so remembering things became easier for me because I created artificial meaning if there was no natural meaning to my brain. Our brains are tuned for survival. Our brains notice things that will threaten us, that we need to run from. If a piece of information has no survival value, the brain is like, and so what? If you need to have, you know, noticing a particular berry that could kill you, your brain would remember that. But, you know, paying attention to the house number, the street you live on, the bank account number, the credit union phone number, all of those things, the brain's going, what? And it's harder to make those new memories stick because there's no natural value to the brain. And so we have to create some artificial stickiness to those memories. And we do that by using strategies like we were talking about with Alex and spelling, using your body to make it memorable, using rhymes. And so there is a previous segment on memory strategies that we've back in either 07 or 08. The other thing that's interesting is Alex yawned at me and I yawned back at him. Yawns are, there's some wonderful research about yawns being contagious. We tend to yawn when other people around us are yawning. So we'll save that discussion for another night. We've got 9 minutes remaining. So what's something that you want to understand more about your brain? You know, some people, it seems, can always find the bright side of things. Other people are always looking at the problems and complaining and whining about things. You can choose, Alex. Can you tell them the story about how you can choose how you're feeling? Like when we were talking about starting your day?
Mm-hmm. You could choose if you want to be grumpy or happy today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when you're laying in bed and you are, yeah, I don't want to get up, I'm too comfortable, or you can decide, okay, I'm going to be cooperative and happy and we're going to get going on a new day. And you actually feel differently and you can choose that in your head and then go from there. So how do you choose to start your day in a positive perspective with a positive frame of mind? That you can choose your feelings. Because when we're younger, we say things like, I can't wait. Alex says that when he wants something. Yep, he's saying, yes, I do. And we know he can wait because in school, if his teacher asks him to wait for something, he can. It's just a choice. And when we use the language about I can't wait or I can't do that, we pretty much predict our future. As Dr. Bruce Lipton says about our brains, the function of our brains is to make coherence between our beliefs and our perception of what's happening in the world. And so we want to focus on those beliefs so that we can have that life experience of reality that we truly seek. And so if you think about what you focus on, what you believe to be true, and then start looking at what's happening in the experience of your life, you'll notice some patterns. And tonight we're not going to get into the conscious or and sub or unconscious minds. That's another long conversation for a future show. And I'm looking forward to be able to bring you an exciting author soon. And we're working to set a date right now. Her name is MJ Ryan. And her new book is called Adaptability, spelled A-D-A-P-T-A, capital A. That's Adaptability. And that's her 9th book that just recently came out. And she also deals with the brain and the cutting edge research around the brain. I'm looking forward to sharing MJ with you and her work. Because again, at Spark, that's our goal, is to bring you those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that can ignite the change you desire to make in your life. So there's some other strategies we can share about the brain. Well, I thought of something that I think Alex can talk about, because it's something that he and I have discussed, and it has to do with when you ride your bicycles or skateboards or roller skates. What do you want to tell people about that?
You have to wear your helmet.
Because?
Because just in case a car steals out of control.
I understand you.
Just in case a car steals out of control and crashes into you.
Right. So it's not so much that you aren't careful. It's that if a car loses control and hits you and you're thrown from your bike, or the tire blows out, you have a flat tire and you're thrown from your bike, the helmet protects your brain. do you do everything you can to protect your brain? Because you only have one. Unlike your skin, which replaces itself, and you can heal from cuts to your skin, it's sometimes challenging. Our brain is very, what is called plastic, with neuroplasticity, that, and you've probably seen the stories where if you have damage to one part of your brain, that another part of your brain can take over that function, it can learn that function, sometimes. And sometimes the injuries to the brain are subtle, from blows to the head, depending on where you hit your head, because your brain actually sits in that fluid we talked about earlier in the show. And so if you have a sudden stop, your brain actually sloshes around and hits your skull. And if you've ever looked at a skull inside, it's full of bumps and pointy edges, and there's a lot of potential for injury. So to take care of your brain, be careful, provide the best protection that you can, whether it's the helmet on your bicycle, wearing a seatbelt in a car to protect against sudden or violent motion in the case of an accident or a sudden stop. Protecting your brain is very, very important because you only have one. So good nutrition, water. The other thing you may want to do for your brain is to relax, to whether it's meditate, and there's so many different ways to meditate. And if you haven't already heard, I highly recommend that you listen to my interview with Kelly Larson, where she talked about breathe into balance and how anyone can meditate, because being able to relax and clear your mind and allow it to be calm allows access to other parts of your brain, your intuition. And so that's another show as well. So give your brain a break. And that's true when you're working on projects. Take a minute or two and do something different. If you're frustrated with a problem that you're unable to solve, focus on something different. Because part of your brain will still work on the problem without the competition, like the creative part of your brain. Sometimes it's overwhelmed by the logical part of your brain, and so you want to shift your focus. Give yourself a break. And honor your attention, because we can only pay attention or make meaning. The brain is unable to do both simultaneously. So if you're trying to learn something, make sense of it, understand it, and you're constantly focused on here's more information, you need to take a brain break, because your brain wants to process the information, connect it to what you already know, ask some questions about it. So give yourself a break. Some say the maximum time to pay attention is 1 minute for each year of age up to 25. So if you've got to focus for more than that, you want to take a minute or two to break. Take a stretch, get a glass of water, take a walk around the block, and then come back. Allow your brain time to process. We only have 1 minute remaining in tonight's show, and obviously I'm very passionate about this amazing organ called the brain. So I hope that tonight you've learned something that will help you to make the most of your brain, to care for your brain, to boost the performance of your brain. And it's a topic we will be revisiting on future shows. As we're getting ready to leave, Alex would like to say farewell. Anything else you'd like to tell people?
No. Goodbye, everybody.
And so in the week ahead, I encourage you, I challenge you to act on something that you've heard tonight, whether it's drinking more water, whether it's tracking your nutrition. Are you getting the nutrition that you need for your brain? Maybe it's your sleep, so that you allow those new memories to glue together. Maybe it's Googling something. Maybe it's checking out a book. Did you know that there is something called the Owner's Manual for your brain? I own it because I love the brain. It's a great resource book. Pop into your bookstore and just take a look through what's in that book. Go to the table of contents for a topic of interest to you and just see what's there. And there'll be more on mind magic and your magic mind to come. Until then, check out www.brainbonanza.com for more information, resources, etc., with learning and the brain. Thank you so much for being here. Please share this show with your friends and watch for exciting guests coming this summer. Until next time, please take care of the brain you have and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.